Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Thanks so much for tuning in to our Thanksgiving Eve show. It was a light night in the NBA, just two games, but one of them featuring a pair of teams on five-game winning streaks. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The Clippers got the best of the Mavericks in Dallas, but it did little to quench any of the excitement around the Mavericks, which is why we're excited to welcome the TV play-by-play voice of the Dallas Mavericks, Mark Folliwell. Mark, this was a five-game losing skid that came to losing, a five-game winning streak that came to an end against the Clippers. What makes LA such a tough matchup?
Well, defensively, man, I was very, very impressed with how well they played tonight. And everybody will point to, of course, as they should, the star caliber players of the team. And Leonard was great, and Paul George was great, and Lou Williams. I mean, all three of those guys scored 20-plus points tonight in the game, so they were fantastic. But I thought that Mo Harkless and Beverly, although he was in a lot of foul trouble, Rodney Magruder off the bench, I just thought the Clippers had any number of different players that were out there tonight that defended Luka well, that played him hard, that played him physical. There was a moment very early in the game, Amy, where Luka drove to the basket and Ivica Zubac had a pretty hard foul that delivered on him, and Luka fell hard to the floor. And I just think that was a physical tone that the Clippers established very early in the game tonight. I have to tell you, I read the quotes from the post game after their game with the Pelicans on Sunday, and I saw what they said about Luka and how well the Mavs were playing, and I walked away from that thinking, well, they certainly have their attention, and that probably means that they're going to come to play and play very hard and very tough. And I thought that's really what was the story of the game tonight. The Clippers played physical, hard, tough, the kind of basketball that seems a little bit more March or April-like than November tonight.
So Luka Doncic does not have a triple-double. It's a rare night in which his stat sheet falls just short of that. It's this incredible bar that he has set for himself, but the way that he started this season has been so much fun to watch. You get to watch him every day, every game. You see him when he's not in game mode. What's the most impressive thing about Luka, in your opinion, Mark?
Oh, gosh. I mean, there's probably a lot of ways I could go with that. To me, the most impressive thing, if I'm going to talk about just kind of away from the game, is that Luka is very much about his teammates. And, you know, he is certainly obliging to do media and will do it and oftentimes says good things, but does not like to sit and bring a lot of attention to himself. You know, I think that when he's between the lines and on the floor, he understands the aspect of entertainment and that you're a showman whenever you're out there playing. You know, this is a competition and you're trying to win it, but there's also an entertainment value to that. So I do think that Luka understands that. But then off the floor and away from the competition aspect of it, what impresses me about Luka is how much he generally seems to care about his teammates, that he has a real feel for what they're doing, how hard they're working, and the whole concept of what it's like in a locker room, the dynamic of a team and the bus and the plane and the locker room. I mean, that's a lot of where chemistry is built. And, you know, I think great players would say, and in some regard, that's where championships are won. The bond that you forge and, you know, the star player that will give guys a hard time jokingly within the framework of a locker room and a team concept and will be on the receiving end of getting the business from his teammates sometimes too. So I think that's what impresses me about Luka is that he shares the credit, he respects his teammates, and he engages in the back and forth of the locker room concept very, very well.
Mark Folliwell is the TV play-by-play voice of the Dallas Mavericks with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. How much do you think Luka benefited from the year with Dirk Nowitzki before Dirk stepped away from his playing career?
I think there was benefit there because I think that Dirk was willing to be a sounding board when Luka wanted to do that. I think Dirk's the kind of guy that wasn't going to force himself into that situation and say, hey, man, you have to talk to me after every game and, you know, I have to go over what I saw and what I think you need to do. I think Dirk was there when Luka wanted to ask him something and wanted to bounce something off of him, but he also knew that when you're a young player in this league and you have success early on, then all of a sudden people really start coming and want a piece of you. And, you know, we need you to do this. And, you know, you've got to do this interview and you've got to do this community service thing. And, you know, this potential shoe deal is there. And so just all of these sorts of different things. And I think Dirk, you know, understands that that a lot of people wanted a piece of Luka as a rookie. And so he was going to be very respectful of, okay, well, everybody's coming at this kid right now, so I don't want to force myself upon him. Mm. If he needs something from me, I'll be there to do it. And if I need to back off, then I'm certainly happy to do that. And so I think it was really beneficial because Luka clearly has immense respect for Dirk because Dirk paved the way for guys like Luka and Porzingis and a lot of other players like that. So I think it was very, very beneficial.
What part of Luka's game does he want to work on or want to improve the most?
Oh, wow.
Seems like he's such an incredible player already, and yet he's still so young.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that the thing – I can't answer what he wants to work on most moving forward. I think the best answer I could give to that question, Amy, would be what I've seen in terms of what he's worked on in the last few months. And so what, to me, I notice is that the conditioning is better, and maybe that is the answer. Maybe that is the answer to what he wants to continue to do moving forward, because I think that can get even better. But Luka is stronger, leaner, in better shape, and all those things compared to where he was last year. And so that's resulted in driving to the basket more, absorbing and carrying more of a workload, and getting inside, drawing fouls, finishing at a higher percentage and a higher clip than he was last year. It's like all of these sorts of things have happened this year that I think are related to improved physical conditioning and improved physical shape, basically, for lack of a better term. So, you know, all of that has manifested itself in a big jump in terms of his shooting percentage on shots in the paint this year, something along the lines of, you know, from the mid-50s last year, mid to upper 50s to the lower to mid-60s from a percentage standpoint this year. So that's the biggest thing that I've seen.
Kristaps Porzingis has a double-double tonight. He's certainly a guy who is capable of that every time he steps on the court. How are you seeing him not only get back into basketball after, what was it, a year and a half away, but also fit in with the Mavericks?
Well, he's fitting in fine. I mean, look, he's a guy that is totally on board with the concept of what's going on around here and is thrilled to be here and thrilled to be back on the floor and to be in this situation. So fitting in fine. I would say from his on the floor performance, his rebound numbers are by far the best it's ever been in his career. That double-double that you mentioned tonight is his sixth in his last seven games, so that's really positive. But I think he would be the first to admit that his shooting percentage is not where he wants it to be. His consistency in terms of making shots has been erratic, and I think that that's what he's looking for in terms of improvement. And I think he's kind of battling the whole idea of, I want to be at the level that I used to be, and I expect myself to be there. But I also understand that this is a managed expectation situation because I'm a year and a half removed from a serious injury and didn't play for that 18 to 20 month time frame. So I do think, there's a lot going on there in terms of kind of managing and balancing the desire to be as good as he possibly can immediately and understanding that it is, I know we say this a lot in sports now, it is a process and it is a long road back. And, you know, Rick Carlisle said before game, Amy, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, that while he's not necessarily saying it may take as long as Gordon Hayward, he said, look at Hayward. Gordon Hayward got hurt, missed an entire year.
Right.
And then had a summer, a season, another summer, and a training camp before early this year, before he had the unfortunate fractured hands, you know, where he looked like the Gordon Hayward that is the reason Boston signed him away as a free agent from Utah.
Yes.
So I don't necessarily think it's going to take that long, but I do think that Rick and Porzingis realize that there's going to be some ups and downs in this road back to get to where he was.
Mm. Dallas Mavericks TV play-by-play voice Mark Folliwell with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned the youth on this team, and certainly we know what Luka can do and what KP is capable of when he gets healthy. We know Seth Curry can come off the bench and he can hit some shots. Who provides that veteran leadership, though, when you're talking about these growing moments, these growing pains with such a young group?
It's J.J. Barea, championship winner in 2011 with Dirk and the Mavs, and a very, very highly respected member of the locker room. There's the championship pedigree. There's the fact that he worked himself from being an undrafted free agent into a player who's carved out a 14-year career. And I think there's a lot to be said for this aspect of it, too, is Luka played in Spain and was there from age 13 to age 19, so he's fluent in Spanish. Porzingis played in Spain, and so I think that there's a language thing there between J.J. and Luka and J.J. and Porzingis that you know, they can communicate with one another in a way that I think is very comfortable. Luke is very, very comfortable as a Spanish speaker because of all the time that he spent there. I would say that if you asked him and he was being perfectly truthful and honest about it, he would probably rather do interviews in Spanish than he would in English, in addition to Slovenian. So I think there's a real bond and comfort level and respect. And JJ, because he's been with Rick Carlisle for so long, and because, you know, Rick, as any NBA coach, can be hard on young players, I think JJ is that perfect conduit to say, look, I played for him when I was young. This is what he wants out of you. When he's hard on you, this is what he's trying to get to. But nobody's a bigger fan of him. Nobody's a bigger fan of you than Rick is. So I think JJ is that really good conduit of softening the message and being somebody that facilitates a good relationship between veteran coach and younger player.
Mm. All right, so before I let you go, Mark, then, what's the buzz level like this season? After people had a chance to get to see Luka, and of course, we've talked about KP and the fact that they start out, they put this five-game win streak together, they're above 500. What's it like around these Mavericks?
Luka mania is alive and well, and it's a thing. I mean, it is. Look, the best story I could tell you is this. On Sunday, Luka had 41 points, 13 in the fourth quarter, and the Mavs won a game on the road against James Harden and the Rockets. As you know, the Cowboys played on Sunday and you know, lost to New England.
Right.
There were controversial things to talk about, including Jerry's post-game comments about Jason Garrett, among many other things. And so, you know, look, you know how it is. That's going to dominate talk radio in an NFL city, particularly Dallas, on a Cowboy Monday. But there was still time to hear on talk radio and on local sports what happened with Luka and what happened with the Mavericks in their game on Sunday in Houston. So there's buzz. People are excited. And I don't think I'm being hyperbole guy here when I feel like that they're as excited in town about the Mavericks right now as they have been since the championship team in 2011.
Woo, I like it. It's exciting to see how this unfolds. And for the first time in a long time, you feel like the Mavericks are part of that conversation. Of course, the West is completely wide open, too, which changes everything. So you can follow Mark on Twitter at MFollowL. Happy Thanksgiving, Mark.
You got it. Thanks, Amy. Take care. Happy Thanksgiving to you and all your listeners.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.